Hey there, it's your friendly Vermont Edition co-host, Michaela Lafrac. This podcast has been spruced up and edited down for clarity. Hope you enjoy it.
Welcome back to Vermont Edition. I'm Connor Cyrus. Made Here is a series on Vermont Public that shares local and independent films from across our region. A new series kicks off this Thursday night and will be offering new films to Vermont Public's audience over the next few months. My co-host, Michaela Frack, spoke with our colleague, Eric Ford, Vermont Public's Director of Content Partnership and producer of the Made Here series, to learn more about the unique voices and stories from local filmmakers viewers can look forward to. Michaela began the conversation by covering the Made Here basics to get everyone on the same page.
Let's start with the basics of Made Here. For somebody who hasn't heard of it before, what's the goal of this series?
Well, Made Here as a series started in 2016, so it's been going for a little bit over 6 years. And really the goal with the series was to share local independent, mostly documentary films. And 30 to 40% of a typical season is from Vermont, but we're talking about New Hampshire and Maine and Massachusetts and Quebec. And there's anywhere from like a 2-minute short animated film to a feature length documentary. So there's a lot of interesting things and all sorts of subjects, really.
Right. So let's dive into maybe some of the themes that you have seen emerge for this new season, which again is starting on the 26th. Did you notice any common threads here?
Yeah, it's interesting. You know, obviously I can't really order up a film that we might be interested in. It's really about whatever the filmmaker is interested in, but we do find actually recurring themes. So very often there's films about the outdoors and sports. I mean, those are, you know, again, in New England, that's a big thing, being outdoors. Women's experience and the BIPOC experience in the area, that's another common theme that we find. History, arts, activism, of course, again, is a thing that's really important to folks, not just here, but everywhere. And so those themes that are interests that you would find kind of anywhere are also those same interests here. And another focus that I love is student voice. And so especially this season in the winter and spring, we have regular showcases of student work from Champlain College and the Freedman Unity Film Showcase, which is amazing because you often don't get to see student work. It's either a project or for school or something. So, and they're great. It's amazing work to be able to share with everyone.
Right. Oh, very cool. Well, let's dive into this new season and some of the films that you're most excited to share. You were kind enough to pull a couple clips of films so we can hear them as a bit of a teaser. And one of the first February premieres, as I understand it, is about a sport that everyone thinks of when it comes to New England winters, not surfing. So tell us about this movie, Winter Surfing.
Yeah, it is. It's not something that, I mean, it's fascinating to watch, but I don't think I'm brave enough to try something like that. It's just surfing, let alone in the winter, right? This is from director Greg Shea, who lives in the Boston area. And yeah, it's just a profile of these thrill seekers that are out there surfing in the winter in Massachusetts, you know, anywhere along the coast here in New England, in Rhode Island, even in New Hampshire, actually a little bit of coast there. And there's these brave surfers that are out there.
Let's take a listen to a clip from Winter Surfing.
I think a lot of people, when they think of a New England winter, it's the cold, unpredictable weather, snow and ice. Not a lot of people think of it as a surfing destination, California, Hawaii. But there's a lot of times we get great surf in the winter. If you have a good swell and the winds are going to be good, then it doesn't matter whether it's 90 degrees out or whether it's 3 degrees out, you're going to go out. And then you're in the water and it's like you're just waiting for the next wave and you're, you know, stepping into another dimension.
And that one premieres on February 2nd.
The next film you pulled a clip for us for is called Ruth Stone's Vast Library of the Female Mind. And it's from a Vermont director named Nora Jacobson. And we actually talked to her about this project a year ago. And now this film is coming out for a broader audience. Tell us about it. What's the latest?
Yeah, I love this film. And Nora's an amazing director. She's been here for decades making feature fiction films and now documentaries. She's just a master at what she does. And Ruth Stone is such an interesting subject. She really is, I feel like, unsung, perhaps unknown, and that's a shame. And so hopefully that's what's great about this film is you get to learn about this really unique, amazing woman. And it's really about her life, her family. She lived in Goshen, Vermont, in the middle of nowhere, and just was making, she might be referred to as like the poet's poet. She really is just this, again, and that I think has more to do with the fact that maybe people don't know about her work, but she's incredible. And that's what's great about this film is you get to hear about her work, but also her as a person.
Well, let's listen to a clip.
I saw that she had a hard time in the world with the old boys club.
One of my colleagues asserted that her poetry was women's poetry and was not serious.
But Ruth knew exactly what was going on in terms of class and snobbery and contempt.
I see it perfectly, except the beast fumbles and falters until the others wince. Everything shimmers and glitters and shakes with unbearable longing. The dancers who cannot sleep.
And the sleepers who cannot dance.
Those poems are so different from anybody else's poem. There is no style that is like Ruthie's. She didn't copy anybody.
We learned over the weekend that poet Ruth Stone has died at the age of 96. Stone died at home in Vermont with her family by her side.
And that film actually premieres on March 2nd, and it's just in time for Women's History Month, so yes. Great choice there.
Good timing. Love it. All right, well, the next story that you want to share is very different, and it involves toast art. What can you tell us about this one?
This film is called Burnt Toast, and it premieres on March 16th, and it's from a director named Timothy Morrish, and it's all about Galen Paul Dively III, who lives in Danville, Vermont, and he's most known for toast art. He makes these selfie toasters, so you can actually submit a picture of anyone, yourself or anyone, and he'll make a toaster that burns that image into the toast. And so it was, he was most famous and kind of went viral for his Jesus toaster, so people, you could get Jesus on toast because why not? Why not?
Why not? Well, let's take a listen to a clip from Burnt Toast.
My name is Galen Paul Dively. I am a human being on planet Earth that makes toast art. Brief history of the life of Galen Paul Dively. boy, that's not brief. I was born in Pennsylvania, 16th generation Pennsylvanian. Oh, proud of it. My mom and dad are fifth cousins. I'm a hillbilly. I was a lot of trouble for, I grew up in the 70s, a lot of trouble for my family. Then when I was 18 or so, while I was on parole, I found the Grateful Dead. I found the hippies. And then I just traveled with the, I learned how to tie-dye because I didn't, selling drugs just seemed way too stressful. So I learned how to tie-dye and I became a tie-dyer and I did really well at that. And I basically just tie-dyed and then followed the Grateful Dead around.
All right, this might be my own ignorance, but I did not know that you could be a professional tie-dyer.
I mean, yeah, that's it's self-professed, but sure, why not? You can be a professional anything. Yeah, this is the kind of film where, you know, it's short and it's great, but I wish it went on because this guy is such a character and it's just a treat to hear about him and his toast art.
Well, finally, we'll look ahead to May for the premiere of No Other Lake. What can you tell us about this one?
It's Dwayne Peterson from Colchester, Vermont, and Jordan Rowell. And essentially, they took a trip along Lake Champlain and kayaked the whole thing, really to shed light on what's happening in the watershed, talking to folks along the way about the health of the lake. And it's, number one, it's an amazing, impressive first film for these directors. And it's also just so compelling and visually, too. I mean, again, just in audio, it's hard to tell. You're going to have to see it. I'll just tell you, you got to see it. But it is an incredible film, and it's an important film because it talks about our land and our watershed and what's important for us to all exist here together.
Right. Well, let's take a moment to listen to a clip together from No Other Lake.
I refuse to accept the tragedy that I can't swim in this lake sometimes.
Well, you have to have an intimate relationship with the thing you're trying to preserve.
Sometimes there's this disconnect between what needs to be done and what an individual can do.
People think, oh, I'll go somewhere else, some other lake, but long term, there won't be anywhere else to go.
Wow.
Yeah, right? It's powerful. Yeah, it's a must-see. Something that, you know, if you're from the area, even if you're not from the area, just to learn about, you know, what might be possible to help save this natural resource that we all rely on.
Right. Well, let's end with the basics here, Eric. Remind us when all these films are coming out and how can people watch them?
Yeah, absolutely. So the Made Here series premieres on Thursdays at 8 on our main TV channel. But every day of a premiere, it's also available on demand. So you can watch anywhere, anytime. All you need is the internet, right? So if you have the Vermont Public app or the PBS app, you can watch every week as those roll out.
Awesome. Well, Eric Ford, Vermont Public's Director of Content Partnership and the producer of the Made Here series, thanks so much for coming on and talking us through these films.
Oh, it's my pleasure. Thanks, Michaela.